A very good evening. Welcome along to the Score programme for tonight. Coming up in this evening's show, we'll be speaking with Derry City manager Declan Devine on the club's return to collective training and how they are working through the FAI's pilot programme for a safe return to football. Athletics Ireland's Northwest Regional Development Officer Dermot McGranahan, who talks to me about young athletes getting back on track and the target of a national championships, which AI hope to run later in the summer. But up first, we're going to hear in-depth from Donegal chairman Mick McGrath. The GAF course released their roadmap last weekend, and there has been quite a few questions over how Gaelic Games will be developing and returning in the coming weeks and months. I've been talking to Mick about the inter-county format, the club championship, club issues on the roadmap, club fees, the cool camps returning, and more. Mick says there has been a lot of questions around the guidelines from Croke Park, and he says the clubs will be educated more in the coming weeks.
Well, the clubs are very concerned, I suppose, about the regulations that are being asked to implement by opening up their facilities. So there is clear, clarified instructions and regulations coming out in the next few weeks. And what we're not going to do is to rush into doing anything or giving answers and directions that are not totally worked out in advance. And as we're only working from last Friday on this, and we have to take all eventualities into consideration. And there are people working full time on this in Croke Park all week in different groups, and we're on Zoom meetings on a daily basis with different angles of different areas around all the operation of opening up a ground. And the clubs will be, informed in due course. We just can't give answers out to every question that's there at the moment, because quite a lot of the answers that clubs are looking for are actually in the statements that have already been released. It's just that they're panicking a little bit, and they're taking every little bit of information like a sponge, soaking up everything that's coming in, and they're coming up with their own interpretation, which is understandable. But it will fathom itself out as we get closer to dates. On what the directions are. There are Zoom meetings being set up for club officers that will be taking place and will be lectured, over the airwaves. Really, they won't have to leave their homes on what to do. So there will be an education process brought in, and there will be assistance on that. There'll be no panic on buying equipment or sanitizers or temperature gauges and all of that. There's no panic in all of that. We're going to structure where we can purchase in bulk, where we can purchase from the one company probably, and get a better deal than everybody buying their own thing. I would have had, I'd say, 25 emails this week from companies selling me sanitizers, equipment, and sanitizer, different types of product connected with sanitizing. So we have to be careful that we're not letting people jump on the bandwagon, with all due respect to them as well. So we're going to be organised, and we will be structured, and it will take, I suppose, the officers of the county a bit of time to take everything on board, because there are different angles around the GAA and there are different areas to operate. But the main, I suppose, come back to the main point that you asked me at the beginning, what are clubs looking for? Clubs are looking for one thing: fixtures. When are we having fixtures? What's happening with fixtures? And that's the main, finance and fixtures, the two F's. And
what is happening with fixtures, Mike?
Well, in the county, we have the CCC, which is the Competitions Control Committee, and Frankie Doherty is the chairman, and Ed Byrne is the secretary, and both of those gentlemen have pulled their committee together on a couple of Zoom meetings already this week, and we've taken on board what window of opportunity have we got. That's already been established by Croke Park. Your clubs can go back into non-contact training the 29th of June and contact training on the 20th of July, and that there will probably, in all probability, and I'm not putting any words into the CCC's mouth what to do, but in all probability, you will have around the fixture starting off on the weekend of the 29th of July, beginning of August, 1st of August, that weekend, and we have an opportunity then of probably, I think it's about 8 weeks, to get our programme of fixtures not involving the county players, including the county players, involved in that. So that window then has been self-identified with the county players being told they can't go back training until the 14th of September. And so you've got basically from the 31st of July to the 14th of September, a window of opportunity there where clubs will have their county players 100%. And
can we play the championship, the Donegal Senior Football Championship, the Intermediate Championship and the Junior Championship in that time span, and if the same sort of pattern or sort of run of games that we had last year, we've seen that in the final, we needed three games to separate the two sides to find a winner. Is there enough time if last year's championship was put into play this year in that time frame that's been given?
Well, I think that the main thing that we're trying to do there, and I will answer the question, the main thing that we're trying to do there is we're taking 100% of the club players on board first, and that's inclusive of the county players. And we've asked the CCC to come up with a program of fixtures that will incorporate the club having the availability of all their players, inclusive of county players. So to answer that question, my prediction would be that you would probably see championships starting straight away. And that would be done on some type of a group system. We don't have a knockout, as you know, in Donegal, because it would be very unfair if you had only one game in the championship and you were beaten and that was your season over. We're not going to have an opportunity to have warm-up games like in a league format, because we're really governed by when we're concluding our championships, and our championships will really need to be wrapping up by the middle of September to the end of September period. And the CCC are very much aware of that, and I think anybody that has read the programme of dates that has been set out by Croke Park are very much aware that that's what's going to happen. So the CCC will sit down and work out a programme of championship fixtures inside of that. What happened in last year's championship was where we had a county final, a draw, and the replay, a draw again. As exciting as it was very taxing on players. It was very, it was taxing on the clubs involved, and unfortunately one club had to lose three exciting games, and congratulations to the Glenties team on winning it. That was three fantastic games of football. But I would think that ain't going to happen too often in our history. So the CCC can only plan up, I suppose, the fixtures from the beginning, the end of July to the middle end of September in our championship, and that's not a decision that's been taken by the Donegal CCC. That's a decision that has been governed down from Croke Park by saying this is what we're expecting counties to do, and you have to work out your programme of fixtures accordingly to fit in your junior, your intermediate, and your senior championships in that period, and mostly because it's incorporating in the county players. Now, when you come probably from the beginning of September onwards, you would be down to county semi-finals and finals, and you won't be including them all. But as I said at the very beginning, the county players will be going back on the 14th of September to train to get ready for an Ulster Championship. Mm-hmm. And we can talk about inter-county in a second, but you know, we have to take into consideration fairness to the clubs, that they get a fair crack at the whip. And if you were to repeat the championship similar to last year, there will be probably, in all probability, the group stages going on into knockout then from quarterfinals to finals. But the CCC are a very experienced group of people, and they'll come up with their own proposals. And
yeah. Is it likely? Is it very likely that we could see a change to the format of the championship in Donegal this year?
There certainly is the availability to the county. If we seek permission from Croke Park to change it, we have now by rule authority to do that. Once we get the permission from them, so that was with the special congress that took place at the beginning of the year. So if we need to come up with a new structure, yes, we've got that, and the CCC are very much aware of that as they sit down and do their business. And I would like, I know there's a lot of clubs want to know tomorrow what's happening, but you know, the CCC only got the information last Friday, and I have instructed them on one instruction: do not rush into making any decision. That the decision they make, they reflect on all areas that's required, and to come up with the right decision. But do not allow yourself to be rushed by phone calls or emails from clubs. So I would ask the clubs just to give them a little bit of patience and give them a bit of time to come up with it. And I would be happy enough to get a club fixtures programme out prior to the 29th of June. because there is no fixtures before before the 29th of July. So let's not panic and, as I said, take small steps before we look to sprint.
Listen, there's not a lot of time. Like, some players individually at the moment could be training away themselves before the pitches open again, and it's the end of June when they can go back, and then there's contact training, as we know, in the middle of July. There's not a lot of time there to get your training right, to get your style of play right, to how you want to get the way you do things come championship time. So is it fair, Mick, that when football does resume, that you go straight in to a first round of a Donegal Senior Championship?
Well, you know, the choice was there. Do the counties want to go with this, or do we want to, remain the way we were over the past 4 months, 3 months? And the decision was taken by the majority of, by everybody, that we want to get back out there as quickly as possible. We also have to take that there is thousands of young kids out there that would normally be going through underage games up and down through the county that are currently not doing that and probably driving their mums and dads stone mad. But we've got to let them out to burn their energy up as well, and to give them, you know, so there's an underage program to be worked out somewhere along the line as well. And there is a minor board, CCC, that will look at that. There's hurling and football and minor board, and then the ladies who don't work through they're not integrated with us, but that integration hasn't taken place. But if you ask at club level, every fixtures man that's working out the games on the pitch, and at any club level, will also be incorporating in the ladies' games. So we have to take all on board that we don't flood pitches with activity either. That we end up having rows among ourselves. So there's a bit of planning, there's a bit of calmness required. There is a structure to be put in place, and I have full confidence in the people that are working there. They will come up with the programme, and what's required will be put out. We're going to have a shortened season, Oisin, and we have to accept that. It's exceptional. But to get any type of a season at the moment will be a great benefit to those of us that thought a month ago we were going to have no club season. We've got to also remind ourselves and be realistic that there's a welfare there on players, and that if players are asked to play 6-7 consecutive weeks, it's burning up the chances and the percentages of gaining injury as well. And players that are not in good shape going out and asked to play straight in the deep end, paddle or sink, it's also a bit of pressure that we're not used to. There's normally a warm-up of league games before you go into championship, but that's not going to happen this year. It's because of the COVID-19. And then you have a different, I suppose, added pressure then as well, that our better players in all the clubs are our county squad players. And we have to take on board the welfare of the county players, that they're going to be asked to play, a heightened game of football from the beginning, 1st of August, right through to the middle of September, and then park up and go straight into preparing for inter-county at a higher pace. And that's going to bring concern and welfare monitoring as well, that we don't ask them to do too much and gain a lot of injuries on that side of it. So, fine balancing act, but it's a welcome balancing act.
Yeah, you mentioned about underage structures and minors, and that parents at the moment, some are struggling because their young ones are looking for so much attention, and there's nothing there to break out and release all the energy. Come the summertime, a very popular initiative was Cool Camps in Donegal, and we've seen county players being involved. You went around all the different parishes and all the different clubs in the county, and Cool Camps was a mainstay of the summer. Parents are wondering, is Cool Camps going to be back so they can get a break and their young ones can play football? Where are you at the moment with Cool Camps under the GAA roadmap and the direction coming from Croke Park?
Right. Well, I would agree with you, Oisin, that it's a welcome. The Cool Camps is a huge benefit to the way it's structured at the moment nationally and in Donegal. We had over 4,000 kids attended Cool Camps in Donegal last year. And out of the 4,000, right around the coastal clubs that we've got, we had a lot of visitors from other counties, from Northern Ireland, from down the country, and they came to visit. They would have been booked up in advance in hotels, in B&Bs or renting houses or whatever. And they would stay in the area for the week, and they would let the kids go to the local Cool Camp, which was all very fine and more than welcome. But we can't allow ourselves to go into that type of a structure this year. We've been informed last Friday that we're going back on board on the 20th of July, and you're talking about if you were to run cool camps, you'd have to run them from the 20th of July to whenever the kids go back to school. There has been something voiced but not confirmed that the kids could be going back to school a week earlier. That's not confirmed yet. If that were the case, we're talking about maybe only a 4 or 5 week window of opportunity there for cool camps, where normally we would have 10 weeks for running cool camps in the county. So again, we can only chew what's put in front of us. We haven't discussed with the clubs yet who might be interested in having a cool camp. We certainly haven't looked at all the details around what regulations do you require to have a cool camp. And I mean, at the moment I'm looking at regulations that says that you can't use dressing rooms until the 10th of August. Now hopefully that will change on our next phase review, on the national review with COVID on the 29th of June, or indeed by the 20th of July. We're also talking about 2 metre social distancing at the moment, and everybody said that's going to change, but that's everybody's opinion. There's only one person's opinion I listen to, is Dr. Tony Houlihan, on 6 o'clock news, when he says that we're not in favour of moving from 2 metres to 1 metre. But when he is in favour of moving, I'm sure he'll let us know, and when the right time arises to move it. And we look forward to that will happen, and as progressive as things has happened in the last number of weeks. And it might happen that we don't have to have social distancing. And what practices and regulations do we need in to have a camp within and how does a club get educated to do that? It's quite a lot of steps, small steps to take before we take the sprinting steps. So we'll be discussing with clubs all of those areas when we get directions and more guidance from Croke Park, I suppose, when they're meeting all this week, as I said, and they're looking at all those angles, and there's plenty of angles to look at, the welfare care and the safety of everybody going in to do anything in our clubs.
Okay. Just moving on to club fees, Mick, because there had been calls from a number of quarters in the county that there should be a halt to the fees, or a reduction or a discount in the club fees from the various clubs. Some have paid it, some haven't. You've been in discussion with the executive and clubs in relation to fees. Where is that at the moment? Because clubs are looking for a wee bit more clarity on this, and it's a shortened season. The gate receipts aren't there that were before, Mick. So where are the county board and the executive now in relation to fees, and what do the clubs have to do?
Well, the management of finances within the Donegal County Board is done by the county committee, normally through figures and that are presented to county committee by the county treasurer and his budgets, etc. Agreements was made on fees. There are some fees that are automatically, we basically do the collection of certain charges, like around insurance, registration, etc. And we're basically just financial collectors for Croke Park, for the automatic ones that are paid every year. And you can't go out on the field and play without having your grounds insured, your players insured, and all the other things that go with that. And clubs accept that, and that's there. There is then a levy to clubs. Both there's 3 levies. There's junior, intermediate, and senior. And the county committee, which is every club in the county, have agreed into those. And it would take the county committee a decision to change those. And when it's broke down and explained to the clubs where those fees go, they go, for example, to employing coaches. We employ 7 coaches throughout the county, and we pay their full-time staff. There's an administration full-time staff, and there's a games development manager. Their salaries are all come out of that. We also seek down a grant from Croke Park towards that, which is part subsidised by Croke Park. And but overall, a large proportion of that goes towards the coaches in the county. And then there's the inter-county scene, where the costs of running your inter-county teams, They come from part of the levies as well. So by the county team not being in action, I suppose, since March, there could well have been maybe not as many bills coming in and around all that area. And we've asked the county treasurer and his finance committee to look at areas where there might have been a trimming available to discuss with clubs. And then we had the situation where we couldn't even bring the clubs together for a meeting due to the COVID-19. And there was a couple of people decided to go and speak to the media themselves, which they're entitled to do if they so wish, but it wouldn't be the popular thing among most of the clubs in the county for anybody to do. There is respect there given to county committee. County committee make the decisions, and there's meetings held regularly, and whatever discussion needs to take place around decision making, it's normally done within the contents of that meeting. And leaving that to one side, the decision has been taken that we will visit all clubs on a one-to-one, rather than ask them all to come in, which we can't do under regulation at the moment. We can't bring them all together, and it's very difficult to continue sending out emails or to be ringing up people. So now that we can actually drive around the county, we've taken it on board that we will visit all the clubs and we will discuss with each club individually what their concerns
are. Do you think it's a fair enough request that clubs are asking for a discount given the circumstances that we're in, Mick?
Well, I mean, I would answer that by saying that if we have less money to spend, then there's something going to suffer somewhere down the line, and the clubs will have to decide what's going to suffer. And if that means cutting back on spending on inter-county teams, spending on coaches, or spending on where we normally spend this money, then we would be guided by the clubs and in making that decision. And if the majority of them feel that that's the way we should go, we have no difficulty. But where there is already identified a saving or an area that we don't need to spend on this year, I've asked the treasurer. The county executive have asked the treasurer to look at that, and we will discuss with each particular club then where their concerns are. Yeah. Like one club, Oisin, might have a financial difficulty, whereas another club might not have. One club might be better structured in raising finances than another club, but all clubs are quite capable of identifying their own needs when we visit them, and it's our intentions to visit.
Some clubs will be struggling because their lottos aren't selling the way that they were before.
Well, that's
no gate sense. Receipts from matches. So if they can't come up with the cash, Mick, there's obviously a problem there. So a discount is a fair enough scenario for it, or even kicking it down maybe to a couple of seasons down the road.
Well, I mean, what decisions is made at the end of will be made by the county committee. Keep saying, and I certainly can listen to what people are saying, but we'll also identify that the money that is normally taken in by the county board is spent on things associated with what the decisions were when it was originated, and the county team will be going back into full swing in mid-September, and there's quite a lot of cost involved in that. And if we were to trim back on that and we'll say that Mickey McCann, the hurling manager, and Declan Boner, football manager, that you can only operate with a lesser panel, that you can't do this and you can't do that. I mean, is that fair also? But if the clubs want to decide to do that, then I'll be governed by the clubs. The clubs, that's why we're going to go around and meet them, and we will give them the opportunity of expressing all concerns they may have with this period of closure to us. And we'll also be incorporating, where there is difficulties. And there are difficulties, and we will certainly discuss them on a private matter with each club, and we'll deal with it professionally. And where there's a deferment required, that has already been offered to the clubs in writing, that as long as we balance the books by the end of October, if there is a requirement to do extra fundraising around to assist the clubs, then that's something we've also asked the Finance Committee to look at, and they're looking at that. And if there's any decision making to be made, we've given the treasurer the authority to do that as well. So that's not giving away too much secrets, I suppose, Oisin, but it's also letting you know that we're meeting clubs and we're discussing with all individual clubs every concern that they have, finance inclusive.
Okay. Just staying on finances, I see the Longford chairman, Albert Cooney, came out this week and once again made a call for the government funding to assist the GA through COVID-19. What's Donegal County Board stance on that? We've seen the FEI this week now meeting with their respective 19 League of Ireland clubs. They're going to prop them up. They're going to sustain them. They're going to get cash. Is this going to be a similar situation with the county boards across the country, and in particular Donegal? Is that something Donegal is seeking?
Well, yes, is the answer, and the amount of young people we take in off the streets is okay to introduce them to Gaelic games is one thing, but the amount of kids we take in off the streets to keep them away from causing all types of difficulties for Garda, for parents, for locals, burning off their energy, identifying bestiality and the right nutrition and all of that area that I'm not going to start preaching about now. But all of that area is automatically taken by the GAA and indeed all sports bodies throughout the country. And without sport, I suppose we would be a worse nation. So where there is a lot of money going to be spent on bringing everybody back on board, there will certainly, if there's an expense, an extra expense there, and also identify the loss of current income in the year, then we would be seeking assistance from the government, and the government would have to talk to EU or whoever to work in what it's going to require to get the nation back working on its normality. And its normality is we've got no income. You know, the clubs have no income, but the county board have no income either. And the income that they've got has got to be managed very, very strictly this year, and indeed maybe for a couple of years. And there's a lot of people working behind the scenes and working out a financial plan behind that at national level, provincial level, and indeed down to county level. Our own team are working on it. And yes, is the answer. We will be looking for assistance, but we'll be doing it in a uniformed way through the national body of Croke Park, asking them to identify where the losses are in the counties. And how we can recoup them to afford us to employ coaches, to afford us to keep going with developments, etc. And there's a lot of areas there, and there's a lot of discussions going on. And one must be patient in all these discussions, and we deliberate with the right people at the right time. And put the, you know, it's not about putting pressure on. It's about recognising the difficulties that we've found ourselves nationally in the last 3 months, and indeed for the next 3 or 4 months. And we've got to be very patient how we step back into some form of normality with what has been out there, because a lot of people still to this day don't accept that it was out there, that it didn't come near me, but it's there, and we have to accept that if we're going to organise groups gathering in pitches and travelling teams from one end of the county to the other, allowing people to go from our county to another county or other counties into us, we've got to be managed in a proper way. We've got to be structured in a proper way that we know what's happening and work with the regulations.
Okay, Mick, just moving back to the inter-county situation in the 2020 Championship. I asked you at the start that there could be a possible revision coming now at the end of the month, and we're not going to have to wait until August. What could that revision possibly include, do you feel?
Well, I the first thing I would, I suppose, reiterate with what's already been released is that there will be absolutely no county activity before the 17th of October, and that there is an agreement being made that the county players, both hurling and football, will be given a minimum of 4 weeks, which I think is the 14th or 15th of September. They'll be allowed to come back to train, and they'll be given 4 weeks training preparation before any game. That doesn't say that and that will go straight into Ulster Championship on the 16th or 17th of October. We have two outstanding National League games, one against Tyrone, home to Tyrone, and there is a balancing, I suppose, of promotion and relegation within the divisions of the National League. And Croke Park had to make up their minds, I suppose. What's the most important at the moment? Is it beneficial for Donegal to have those two National League games before they go into Championship? It might be. Some people might look at it from one angle that it could well be. Others would say that we don't need to be playing Tyrone in the league and then playing them again in the Championship. And in Tyrone, I know I was chatting to people in Tyrone. They certainly are feeling the same way, and we wouldn't want that. But if it's the case that Donegal are sitting at the moment in Division 1 with two games left, and they definitely need to win one to retain their Division 1 status, then what's the alternative there? That we play Championship first and play that next January, that we play those two National League games before we get to, so I don't think that's going to happen. I would see maybe the National League games being played sometime in the autumn, and Croke Park are looking at that, and they intend to release a notification on what they're doing, I think, in the next 10-12 days, sometime before the 29th of June. That's what I'm led to believe, and I'm not letting any secrets out of the bag when I say that. And that's what people are looking for, clarity on what is happening out there. And they're looking at all angles. Like, if you were to run an All-Ireland series and have an All-Ireland in December, can Dublin handle, you know, that the amount of people coming in to Dublin around Christmas shopping time? Is there accommodation there? Do you need those types of crowds, dark evenings at 4:30 or 5 o'clock, as you know? And So there's a lot of different things. Kids back at school, you know, the welfare of the players as well has always to be taken into place. You're asking these players to go back with their clubs and play at 100 miles an hour from the 1st of August right through maybe to Christmas time, and then give them a few weeks, or give them a fortnight off and have them back at McKenna Cup, back into National League next February again. So we're asking them to take on board all the areas of concerns that we have, and there's no point in turning around saying that the county players are all fit guys, they're well able for it. The body, anybody's body is not able for that type of an ask, and you know, the body will start giving out by just, you know, getting injured. And if you could pick up any type of a serious injury, and we've got about five players at the moment in Donegal rehabbing back from serious injuries, you know, long-term injuries. We certainly don't want to see anybody going into that type of a scenario again, and I'm sure no county does. So they haven't finalised the dates, Oisín, to go back to the original question. They haven't finalised the dates on when they're going to play the National League. And I see the National League, I suppose, as to some counties. And I was on a meeting just 2 days ago with the county chairman to Croke Park. And there are a lot of counties out there that would know at this stage they're not going to win their provincial championships. And to them, it's important that they're playing in Division 3 rather than Division 4, or Division 2 rather than Division 3. And that's where their goal lies. And if you were to ask... if you were to ask anybody who's going to win the All-Ireland Hurling Final this year, you wouldn't go outside of seven counties. If you were to ask anybody who's going to win the All-Ireland Football Final, you probably wouldn't go outside of seven or eight counties. So there are only seven or eight counties can win the All-Ireland Hurling or Football Final. And the rest, which is the majority in the vote, will probably have more concern around National League fixtures. So we have to take that into the mix as well when the decisions will be made. But the decision will be made by the 29th of June, I think maybe prior to that.
Mick McGrath, Donegal County Chairman, speaking to me earlier today on quite a few issues at the moment around the roadmap on GAA and how things are going to pan out over the next number of weeks. We turn our attention now to soccer, and Derry City is one of four clubs who are part of the pilot programme under the FAI targeting a safer return to football. Derry were back collective training last Monday at their Alia training facility. The rest of the clubs, of course, aren't allowed back training until next Monday, but the FAI are using what Derry, Dundalk, Shamrock Rovers and Bohemians are doing as sort of guidelines as how they can bring the rest of the sides back and hopefully, of course, get back to playing. And that's a role that Derry City boss Declan Devine says is very important for the club, has players and his staff.
I think it's very important. You know, we spoke to the group, we spoke to the staff about the importance of, you know, we are the guinea pigs, so to speak, in terms of return to play. So it's important that we fulfil our side of the bargain and we do everything to the best that we possibly can. We're like everyone else. We're working off guidelines set by the Irish government and by the FAA. And, you know, it's been very stringent, the things that we've had to do. We've been tested this morning again. We were tested Monday past. Thankfully, up to this point in time, all the tests from all four clubs have all come back in a positive way, and that's what we want to continue. You know, our training is very different. It's very different. We have to social distance when we can. We've only half a group on one session, half a group on the second session. So, you know, it has definitely changed, but it's, as you say, it's very important that we follow the guidelines, because ultimately it's not just about the four teams, it's about all the teams and all the junior teams and all the amateur teams in Ireland getting back to play. And, you know, as I say, we're the role models at the minute, but we've got to make sure we have targets, they loyal, they follow suit.
Yeah, it must have been very strange on Monday for the players and for the management. How have you adapted?
It's definitely been strange, you know, but we've put a lot of work on since we got one that we were going to be the first group back. We've spent a lot of time with compliance officers, you know, health and safety officers, following Alan Byrne from the FAI guidelines. So we were well planned out, we were well organised. We spoke to the players in terms of, you know, their roles and responsibilities when they came, and, you know, it's different because they're just literally pulling their boots on in the car. The guy bring their own drinks, the guy make sure that they lift their own stuff. We're sanitising on the way in, sanitising on the way out. So it's been unusual because, as you know, when you get a group of guys together, haven't seen each other in a long time, they tend to be boisterous, to say the least. But we've had to nullify that, and we've got to make sure
everybody's as professional as we possibly can in terms of following the game. Because, you know, this has been, it's been a change for everybody in the whole walks of life. You know, thankfully we're just getting on the ball pitch at this moment in time and carry out the game in the way that we're being told.
Were you able to keep everybody at the club? Did everybody come back? There was a halt, obviously, in March. There was a break of nearly 3 months. Did all the players return to the club?
Well, everybody's back at the moment, except Danny Lapano and Adam Little. Obviously, they're based in England. Danny's loan deal expires in a couple of weeks. He has been tested at Hull, so we're just waiting on word today to see where the season's going, what the plan is moving forward, because obviously, there's no point bringing people back on loan if we don't have enough football for them. So it's important now that we get a bit of clarity from the league, from the association, and if we have that clarity, and we know we'll get back to competition in the near future, then obviously those players have hinted to me that they would like to come back and extend their loan deals. But up to this moment in time, everybody's very much still in the same position. That we have to wait until we hear what's happening, what the transfer windows are going to be. Obviously what the duration of the games programme that's coming our way is going to be as well.
Yeah, we're going to get more clarity on that hopefully in the next couple of days and weeks, but you've got a massive game to come because Derry City's back in Europe, and there's a tournament being organised for the four sides who are involved in Europe, so there's exciting prospects ahead for Derry, so there is, Declan.
Absolutely, look, as I said, we worked extremely hard last year to get into Europe. Now that we're in Europe and hopefully that all gets cleared as well, and it gives a bit of clarity on what way we're going to run this competition. But, you know, we worked so hard over a long season last year to get in there that we don't want to be dismissing it this year. We want to make sure that if we are in Europe and whatever procedures are put in place, that we want to try and get through a round. Now, we don't know how difficult that's going to be, but ultimately that we're here, it's on the horizon. We want to make sure that we give it a right good bash. So, you know, I think the FAI deserve a lot of credit, especially from our behalf, in terms of looking at that 14 tournament. You know, it will give us great games leading into it, in terms of playing Dundalk, Shamrock Rovers, Bohemians. You know, it will give you good games leading into European competition. But as I say, there's so many things that needs to come together. Now, you know, we've been through a real difficult time, and of course the last number of weeks in terms of everyone. But, you know, it's something that we should be working towards and looking forward to, and you know, it's something that all the players, I know, having spoken to them in the last couple of days, are really focused on getting back and looking forward to those games, and with the knowledge that Europe's just around the corner. So a lot to be played for, and we have to make sure that we now continue our side of the bargain and making sure that we keep everybody safe, but also getting our standards higher week by week.
Yeah. Just finally, touching on the players once again, Declan, you're starting to get back to some sort of normality and training. Yes, you are on the pitch. You're doing your social distancing, and there's other protocols that you have to put into place. So it's about getting the balance right now, because you're coming in now to maybe doing a lot more than what the guys were doing before the return. How worrying is it that injuries could become a part of all this, because you're going from a break and straight into it once again?
Absolutely, you know, we have to also look at the data that the football's producing with the German league, and the muscle injuries and the intensity of games coming from doing next to nothing. You know, players all had their programs, as all footballers have had their programs to carry through. But, you know, the nitty gritty of professional football, you got to make sure that we're not pushing them too hard, too quick. We got to make sure that the programs that we're putting out and the sessions that we're putting out is relevant to us getting back. Now, the big plus for us is that at this moment in time, we're in no mad rush to get back playing in a couple of weeks' time, which, for instance, the Premier League's back very quick and the Championship's talking about coming back very quick. We have a period of time which the FAI has given us that, you know, there'll be no competitive football. So that's good. We can take our time getting there. But, you know yourself, footballers are very much about the here and now. And, you know, you tell a footballer to ease up in training, I don't think it's very possible. So we've got a duty of care to the players. We've got to make sure that we take it step by step and make sure that, you know, that the injury prevention is as key as getting back to full-pelt football.
Derry City boss Declan Devine. Now, Athletics Ireland North West Regional Development Officer Dermot McGranahan has told Highland Radio Sport that young Donegal athletes will have a national championships to look forward to in the summer. It was thought that competitions could be ruled out for the year due to the pandemic, but Athletics Ireland now have plans in motion to host national senior and juvenile championships in August, which is subject to government guidelines and protocols. I've been talking to Dermot about athletes getting back on track in the Northwest.
Yes, listen, it's great. It's great to get back. Sure, it's been a long haul since say about the 12th or 13th of March, you know. The weather's been great, you know, it's been tough for a lot of people, you know, but I think we can see a wee bit of light at the end of the tunnel now. So it's great, you know, it's great to just to get back into that. As the man says, back on track. It's difficult for a lot of clubs, you know. Some clubs don't have the same situation as others, you know, and circumstances have changed, you know. For instance, the like of, you know, the Letterkenny AC, who the Aura would be still closed maybe until the 20th, you know. So everybody's circumstances are different, you know, but there's light at the end of the tunnel, as the man says, you know.
Yeah. How have the athletes themselves been finding the return to training? Because there's no collective training. Normally they're in your own club in Finn Valley when a session would take place. It'd be a hive of activity, so it would around the track, but it's not the case now. They have to be split up into groups and individuals, which is different for them. Yes, they're back, but how have they been managing to get through it?
Yeah, normally, actually, if you were about Finn Valley on a Tuesday or Thursday night there, you could see maybe up to 200, 300 kids there any given night, you know. Things have all changed. But, you know, I would say it's more difficult perhaps possibly for the younger ones, you know. Obviously, two weeks ago, we're open 2 weeks now. The restrictions and the guidelines was four people per group, which has changed slightly, but it was difficult at the time, you know. But obviously now the signing in and one thing and another, and the tracing, the contact tracing and all this crack, it's just changed things, right? And it's going to be like that for a while, I think, gosh, you know. But every day there's a bit of an improvement, you know. But I would say the older athletes, coaches have sent them out maybe training programs, training plans. Surely it's difficult to train on your own, and you're going out in the roads and it's not safe, and you're maybe going into grass and it just doesn't suit you if you're a track runner and stuff like that. But, you know, the older ones is probably managing that a little bit better than the younger ones. But and the thing about it now, we have restrictions that nobody under 13 can come to tracks, which is a bit of a bummer. But listen, we can't be too sore in what's happening at the minute. We're back on track, as the man says, and a lot of other sports would like to be in the position we're at the minute, you know.
Yeah, phase three is to come now in the coming weeks. What can Athletics Ireland expect from the next stage of the release from the government? I'm sure competitions will be high on the table at Dermot.
Yeah, obviously, actually, you know, the big push here has to be competition, you know. What I see nationally would be that we're very lucky in the likes of Donegal in the Northwest. We have very, very active clubs, you know. Not saying it's not happening throughout the country, but a wee bit of laziness can set in a bit, you know. A wee bit of normality, maybe the old and new normal is not matching. But what I would say is that Athletics Ireland are working extremely hard to try and get competition going, you know. And that's the next step, really. Obviously, I think that every day it's pushing on. Obviously, we're back to four phases rather than five phases. So that's all changed. And I think maybe in a month's time or maybe 6 weeks' time, I think that our restrictions could even be down to 1 metre and stuff like that. But obviously, competition, there was a meeting last night, and, you know, it's not confirmed. It's not 100% confirmed. But if you asked me 3 days ago, would there be competition, I would have said no for juveniles. But I would say, yes, there's going to be competition now. Has to be passed by Sport Ireland, the government, and Athletics Ireland. But listen, there's procedures in place now. There's dates set in place from last night. I just can't give the dates yet. Obviously, it's cleared. But
There will be a national finals for juveniles.
Absolutely, yeah. All going well and all been passed. There's a bit of legislation to be passed because it's possibly going to be direct entry to nationals. So that has to be passed by the governance of Athletics Ireland, one thing and another, and Sport Ireland. The reason there possibly be no regionals would be maybe the lack of venues, maybe the likes of Connacht maybe have no venue open. Tullamore's been resurfaced, so Munster, a lot of their tracks are based around colleges, so colleges are not open, so it may be direct entry. But as I say, that's all to be passed by the governing body, and you know, Sport Ireland, and of course, obviously, through the guidelines of the government, you know.
No matter what age you are and you're involved in sports, no matter what sport it is, you always want a target, and a national championship is a real carrot for them. And as you said, athletes can find it difficult at times, not get lazy, but find it difficult in the current environment to train. But if they now know there's something to aim for, it makes things a whole lot better, Dermot.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the key. Like, no matter what sport you're in, you know, you can go out and you can train and you can train and you can train. If you have no end result, if you have no goal to go for, it's the time to keep the momentum going, and time to keep, you know, in that environment of training hard and training hard. Like, you can see athletes training, like, I have groups up there, and, you know, they're training so hard, they're lying on the track afterwards. And if you have no character, as the man says, for them, it's pointless, really, you know. And so thank God we have something there. And as I say, it's going to be the end of August, roughly the end of August, for a competition. And it's big news, really, actually, you know. So happy days that way.
Yeah, big news, surely. Listen, is trying to keep the clubs active, trying to keep the clubs interested. There was a number of initiatives that you had set up, Dermot, to organise. You mentioned the likes of Letterkenny AC are struggling because there's no track at the moment, but they rode along with some of the things that you were doing. You might give us maybe an idea, a sense of what the clubs were at during the whole lockdown.
Yeah, just local challenges and one thing and another. Even in my own wee area in Castlefin here, we set up a few challenges, you know, and that took in a lot of people. You know, we actually done a four-week challenge, you know, just a running challenge, you know. So we had that up and going. We had 60 people in that. And obviously now at the minute we have a teenage challenge going. It's like a teenage marathon challenge, you know, just bringing people in different areas, you know. That's going well. But the club challenge was a big one for all the clubs. And every club in Donegal participated in it, you know. Whether they were back on track or not, this was run for the last 4 weeks, you know. So we had great participation. We had the region of 400 athletes involved in over 4 weeks, you know, which is week one was a distance trial, week two was a speed bounce trial, week three was a sort of sprint trial, and week four was a standing long jump trial. So there was massive engagement, you know, and it was sort of like a back at home challenge or stay at home challenge, you know, which engaged everybody. And what I would say about that is that it just shows the enthusiasm of the athletes to participate, and indeed coaches and parents, really. And the need for competition, really.
Yeah. Obviously, athletes have their aims to win medals and get to big competitions and trying to get to nationals. Dermot, you were installed as regional development officer last year. I'm sure you never envisaged anything that was going to happen in relation to the COVID-19 lockdown. But when things start to settle down in your role, what's your aims, Dermot?
My aims, I would say, I should just continue what we're doing, really. My role would be, I'll be looking after Donegal, Cavan, Monaghan, Leitrim, Sligo. I suppose a bit of Derry, Tyrone and Fermanagh as well. So it's really trying to get coach education back up and going again. Like, I would say I'm on the job probably almost 2 years, you know. And I would say it's through Donegal alone, I'd probably put through about 200 coaches. You know, new coaches, maybe through athletics leader, through assistant coach, through level one, you know. So just to continue that, to probably help clubs, maybe develop clubs, you know. So obviously you're developing a coach, which is developing the athlete, and in turn it's developing the club as such. So it's you know, we have about, in my area, I have about 40 clubs. There's a lot of work on it, you know. You're talking about maybe about 6,000 or 7,000 athletes. But continuing that, so one of the things we did do last year was that we set up the Donegal Development Squad, cross-country squad, you know. So that went very, very well. So we'll push on with that now. We'll push, obviously we've missed out on the track and field squads for this year, but again, adapting what we've done last year as well was the academy squads for the track and field. That was the Ulster academy squad that hadn't been going for years, so we got that back up and going again. We had about, probably on that squad, it's based on results, actually, more than anything else, from last year. So we had probably about 60 athletes from Donegal on that as well, with Donegal and Tyrone. So that was key, and I think being part of an academy squad, it creates a good well-being between them all, you know, and I think it's the way to go forward, and that's my plans going forward again, you know.
Yeah, and clubs have always been very, very responsive to all this, so they have.
Absolutely.
Is it 9 or 10 clubs at the moment?
We have nine clubs in Donegal at the minute. Obviously, we're bringing in Olympia because it's, you know, we're working through, obviously, with Glenn Swally and working in Derry as well, you know, so they're very much on the scene as well in Donegal, you know.
Okay. Listen, Dermot, thanks for talking to us, and the best of luck in the coming months. And delighted to hear that there's going to be a national competition for juveniles, because it'll be excitement now to all the young ones, so it will.
It's massive, actually. You know, just when you look back and you see the likes of, it's been so difficult, you know, for the likes of coaches out there, you know, and people in every sport, you know, take for instance the likes of my father there, who is 80 years of age and who's been coaching the Fun Valley for since 1972, really, and probably hasn't missed a day's training in all that 50 years or whatever, just to tell him that he couldn't do it. But getting back on track again, and you know, things like that is bright, you know, and future's bright with some real, real top class athletes, you know. People has missed out, the likes of Daniela, Sean McGinley, people like that. You know, you have the Kellys, you have Ryan Canning, Leonard Kenny. You have so many real good prospects and for the future of it. So sport's good at the minute, you know, Ashley, you know. So happy days that way.
Okay, good man, Derek. Good to talk to you.
All right, Ashley. Thank you.
Dermot McGranahan, Athletics Ireland's Northwest Regional Development Officer. And that's it from the Score programme for tonight. We will, of course, be back with another edition next Thursday. If you missed any of tonight's show, you can, of course, listen back in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. Until the next time, have a very good evening.